Well, this incredible Commonwealth, with thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots and hard hats. People have no idea how smart they are. These are great people, let me tell you. I love them. I'd like to begin by asking a very, very simple and easy to understand question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Does anybody disagree? It's dangerous, don't do it. But over the past 4 years, Americans have suffered one catastrophic failure, betrayal, and humiliation after another. Kamala Harris has delivered soaring prices and economic anguish at home, war and chaos abroad, and nation-destroying invasion on our southern border like nobody's ever seen before. She's actually a disaster. My message to Americans tonight is simple. We do not have to live this way. We don't. We don't. And we won't. We won't. We do not have to settle for weakness, incompetence, decline, and decay. With your vote tomorrow, we can fix every single problem our country faces and lead America. And indeed, the whole world to new heights of glory. And we'll help the world. A lot of people think we're isolationists. We're not. But we want the world to appreciate what we're doing. They have to appreciate that we're helping them. When we win election, only one day, oh, does that sound nice, one day from now. Oh. We've been waiting for 4 years for this. 4 years. Right, Mr. Senator, look at all these senators. Look at all these senators and congressmen. We've been waiting 4 years. Oh. Now it's what I've been saying. Only 1 year from now. Only 6 months from now. It's 6 months. 6 months. Even when I said only 10 days, it still sounded tomorrow. I will end inflation. I will stop the invasion of criminals coming across our border, and we will stop it rapidly. I will strengthen our military. And as you know, we totally rebuilt our military, but now it needs a little strengthening after giving a big chunk of it to Afghanistan. Figure that out. Figure that one out. I will restore peace in the world, and I will rescue the American dream. Together, we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country, and we will launch the most extraordinary economic boom the world has ever seen. And we'll do it by utilizing the assets that we have. If you vote for Kamala, you will have 4 more years of misery, failure, and disaster. Our country may never recover. Vote for me, and I will deliver rising wages, soaring income, and a colossal surge of jobs, wealth, and opportunity for Americans of every race, religion, color, and creed, every one of them. A vote for Trump means your groceries will be cheaper. So many people mention, I go in, so many people mention groceries, that beautiful but simple word, groceries. Sir, my groceries. You don't think of it that way, but that's what they mention more than anything, my groceries. Your paychecks will be higher, your streets will be safer and cleaner. Your communities will be richer, and your future will be brighter than ever before. This will be the golden age of America. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful field in Pennsylvania, not far from where we are tonight, an assassin tried to stop our movement. And this is the greatest political movement by far in the history of our country. Tried to stop it. But that brush with death did not stop us. It only made us more determined to finish the job that we had only just started. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a frisky group. Many people say that God saved me in order to save America. Many, many people are saying that. And with your help, we will fulfill that extraordinary mission together. We're going to fulfill, we're going to save our country. But many, many people have said that. To every citizen across this land, I am asking for the honor of your vote. I don't want your money. I don't want anything. I just want your vote. We are on the 5-yard line. I would actually say we're on the 1-yard line, if you want to really know the thing. And some of the, oh, that's a lot of fake news back there. Look at that. You know, for a person that they hate, they sure do show up, right? Man. That's a big group of people. Some are actually good, and some are just absolutely terrible. All right, thank you for being here. It shows that ratings are more important than hatred. I've always said that. As your president, I will fight for you every single day with every breath in my body. I will fight. Together, we will save this country. We will defeat the corrupt system in Washington, and America's future will be an absolutely incredible one. That's what it is. But we got to start immediately. It can't wait any longer. It's not going to be possible. This is all you really need to know. It's simple, not particularly beautiful as a statement, but very simple. It's Kamala broke it. I will fix it. Thank you. And I don't know if you know, but Kamala has a little rally going on. And when I say little, I mean little. It's a competing rally. It's not this giant place that's sold out. This is a beautiful place. But, and it's quite embarrassing. It's all over the internet. She's screaming. And the people, it's about 100 people, they're not moving. They just want to go home, just be done. It's not quite this. You see the front row? You have a lot of front row Joes. We have more front row Joes here than she's got at her big rally. This was the big one. No, it's a whole hoax. She tried to get stars to come in, and they wouldn't do it, actually. She'd go and get Beyonce. No. Beyonce would come in. Everyone's expecting a couple of songs. And there were no songs. There was no happiness. It's just like, give me my check. I want to get out of here. But you always put the star. She should have learned this from Crooked Hillary. Always put the star after you. That way the people stay. Finish your speech. Let the star. And even if she doesn't sing, they booed like hell. But the press didn't play that. They booed both of them the hell out of the stadium. But you know what? Even though the act was terrible, it's like by that time you're out of the building. Like Elvis had left the building. Elvis has left the building. Now it's terrible. They forgot. They obviously forgot to get a star tonight, but we don't need a star. We don't need stars. I never had a star. No. We don't need a star. Just to bring it back into seriousness, we don't need a star because we have policy. We have great policy. We have great policy. No, we do have great policy. Look, they have horrible policy. They've got a machine that's incredible. They've got a vicious, horrible, horrible group of people, a machine where they can have open borders and let people pour into the country. They can have transgender operations at any age, anytime you want. They can be pushing men playing in women's sports. And because they have, because she's just a vessel, and Joe Biden was just a vessel, it's a group of very powerful people that are probably people that hate our country and they want to destroy our country. Somebody said, are they dumb? Well, who would have these? It's embarrassing when I say, we will keep men out of women's sports. I'm saying, can you imagine saying that 10 years ago? They'd say, this guy's cracked up. This guy's crazy. Who the hell's going to have men playing? Did you see the Olympic boxing where two people who transitioned, they transitioned from men to women and just a light jab. That was the end of that one. You know, a jab, for those that don't know, but that's just like just sort of like a defensive punch. Bing, and the young lady who's a champion walked back to the court. She was from Italy. Beautiful young lady, which I'm not allowed to say. You can't say beautiful, so I'll take beautiful. But she was a beautiful young... In politics, you're not allowed to call a woman beautiful anymore. It's the end of your career. So please delete the word beautiful. Thank you very much. Well, 60 Minutes deleted the whole damn answer. What? So I'm allowed to do that, aren't I, Susan Wiles? But America will be bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than ever before. See? Tomorrow you have to stand up and tell Kamala that you've had enough. You can't take it anymore. She's the least talented person we've ever seen in government. She allowed our borders to be opened. She's allowed bad things to happen. She allowed a man who was grossly incompetent to remain in the most important position of any country in the world when they're talking nuclear weapons and they're talking wars. And she still says, oh, no, I didn't notice anything wrong. If she didn't notice anything wrong, then she's got a bigger problem than he has. So we don't like it, Kamala. We don't like what you've done. You're the worst vice president in history. He's the worst president in history. Kamala, you're fired. Get out. Get out. You're fired. Right. See, I consider all those guys back there with the big muscles, and it's not my thing, but I consider them really beautiful to me. They're beautiful people, and they are productive people. They make our country work and run. They built our country. They did. And then you had stupid politicians that let them down. And those companies got taken out of Pittsburgh and every place else, like you take candy away from a baby. But now we have the exact opposite. If we win Pennsylvania, we will win the whole thing. It's very simple. And I do believe it is, I say, you have to make, I do believe it is too big to rig. I think it's too big to rig. They'll try. And they are trying, you know, though. It's too big to rig. This is a big movement. This is, you know, we did great in 2016. We did much better in 2020. But a lot of bad things happened. He turned out to be a brilliant candidate from his basement that nobody ever heard. No, this is that big, powerful, vicious party that I'm. No, it's a vicious machine. I mean, they can take all these bad ideas and win elections. It's like there's only way you could do that. One way. There's only one way. But you know what it did teach us? In one way, it was good because it taught us how bad a communist philosophy is, how bad a Marxist philosophy, how bad all of this stuff is. And we'll really be able to get our country back the way it should be. It's much easier because you're going to realize how bad it is. It's just what's happening. When we go over the economy and the economic numbers over the last week, it's Herbert Hoover stuff, and I never wanted to be Herbert Hoover. Let me just tell you, the one president I didn't, and there was some that I wouldn't want to either, but in particular, because I'm very good at business. I've always been good at business. They're starting to realize that those guys back there, oh, they wanted me to be bad, so bad. But now they're saying, this guy's shit, man. He's made a lot. But listen, so, and if I'm not good enough, Elon Musk is good enough because he is working so hard. Elon with that rocket. Think of that rocket 2 weeks ago coming down and his engines are blasting. And I said, man, a few days ago it left. It was a beautiful crystal white. Now it's all like fire blazing. They know about that. Like it went through a steel furnace, by the way. But that's what it did. 10,000 degrees coming down at like 20,000 miles an hour. So think of it. A car's going 90. You're going, this is like 20,000 miles. Coming down, 22-story building, then it stops, starts flipping around, starts finding this crazy site in the middle of wherever it was. And I told this story, I hope I don't bore you with it, but I had this guy on the phone. I told it at another rally, and I don't want to bore. Did anybody hear this story? Should I tell it again? It's quick. I hate to tell it again. I hate to double up, but this is sort of. So I'm talking to this guy, one of the most important people in the nation, in his mind, only in his mind. And because I was president, and they say most likely, like about a 96.2% chance. But we can't, look, we can't remember. If you remember 2016, I was given a 3% chance of winning. And then I won Florida, and it went to. Think of it. So she was at 97 and I was at 3. Then she was at, I won Florida. She went down to 92. Then I won Georgia. Then I won North Carolina. Then I won South Carolina. Then I ran the whole East Coast. And then people started going crazy. Remember the woman with the glasses? And that big head of hair. She was screaming. I said to my beautiful wife, why is she screaming? We're going to make America great. Why is she screaming? But she was not too happy. I wonder whatever happened to that woman. She became famous. They were going crazy. Then she had a 55% chance. Then it was a 49%. They went crazy. But that was something. So based on what I'm hearing, he's at right now 4%. She's at 4%. And so we never want to take anything for granted. But we're really doing well. If you vote, here's the story. We have the ball. It's ours to win. The only thing I ask is that you go out and vote. Because if you vote, we're going to win. And believe the fake news when they say, this is going to be tight. This is right. It's really not tight. But they want to do that because they want to get ratings. They want everybody to watch. But you got to do this. You got to just forget those people because they don't tell the truth, okay? Just, no, no. Well, actually, I didn't even correct him because it's actually better if let everyone think it's going to be tight as hell. But whether it is or not doesn't matter. You have to go out and we have to swamp them. Everybody's got to vote. So over the past 4 years, Kamala has orchestrated the most egregious betrayal that any leader in American history has ever inflicted upon its people. She has violated her oath, eradicated our sovereign border. This is a sovereign border. Unleashed an army of gangs and criminal migrants from prisons and jails, the toughest people there are. And I was here with a great group just the other night. I was in Penn State territory, and we had a packed room. We had a packed, not room, it was a stadium, the place. You know, I always like to say when I come to the arenas, how many times could we have sold it out? In if you look at where we were in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, we had a brand new, gorgeous, big arena. We could have sold it out 10 times. I'm telling you, we could have sold out Madison Square Garden 5 or 6 times. And I always view it that way. But we had situations where, and we put up videos of the vicious crimes. I don't put them up anymore. You know why? Because the fake news refuses to put them on. And I have friends call me. They love to watch the rallies. They can't get enough of them. And they're going, President, it's so terrible. You're speaking, and then you put up a video on a screen right behind you, and the fake news refuses to. All they have to do, they refuse to. They don't put it on television. They have the thing on every one of the stations, and, you know, there's one that doesn't really treat us good, but people think they do. Nobody can figure that one out, I'm sure. They don't treat me good, but that's okay. But listen, they can't move the television. They can't move. All they have to do is take that camera and go like this, 1 inch over, 1 inch up, and you'd be able to see the screens, but you can't see them. So I don't really bother with it anymore. It's, I mean, it's a terrible thing, a terrible thing. We have to get them to straighten out, because I think without a free and fair press, it's very hard to do what we want to do. It's a very hard thing. Very hard thing to do. But they're allowing people to come in from insane asylums and mental institutions from all around the world, from Venezuela to the Congo in Africa. They're stealing our jobs, and they're stealing countless American lives. They're killing a lot of people, much more than you're reading about. The day I take office, the migrant invasion ends and the restoration of our country begins. Oh, those Penn State guys, I wanted them to wrestle the migrants. I told, you know, the UFC, Dana White. Oh, they killed me in this. I told Dana, you know, to set up your League of Champions, unbelievable, best fighters in the world, and a migrant league. At the end, I want the migrant to go against the champion, and I think the migrant might actually win. That's how nasty some of these guys are. But I don't know. I doubt that. I tell you, I felt very comfortable with those big Penn State wrestlers. Think of that. They won. I mean, how good is this coach? They won in the last 13 years. They won 11 national titles. They won the title this year. And I had them up. I brought them up in the stage at Penn State. I was at Penn State. The place was packed. And I said to them, fellas, You may be like the only guys in the country that can beat the hell out of the migrants. It's true. They're the only ones that could beat the migrants in a fight. These are tough people. These are people who've been in jails. They're killers. They're murderers. The level of viciousness is unexcelled. And it's from all over the world, not just from South America. So we love being there. I was just 2 days ago. We love being there. We love seeing these young guys. These guys were great. But they won 11 out of 13 titles, and it's called Pennsylvania, here we are, right? It's one of those things. They're pretty good. But we have to stop because the United States is now an occupied country. We're an occupied. Can you imagine somebody getting up and making a statement? We are an occupied country. When you look at what's happening in Aurora, when you look at what's happening in all places, Springfield, how about Springfield, Ohio? We're an occupied country. And, you know, those are just the places you hear about. But they're taking over large sections of the country. And Colorado. Remember Colorado? They're the ones that started the movement, the governor, the weak, pathetic governor of Colorado. He's a radical leftist. And he's afraid of the people, the gangs from Venezuela. He's afraid of them. He's afraid to do anything. He's lost control of his state. But he was the one that wanted to have Trump taken off the ballot, even though I was leading all of the Democrats, all of the Republicans at the time. I was number one. And they went to the United States Supreme Court and got a 9-0 approval, but that Trump has the right to run for president. He wanted me off the ballot. And the people in Colorado, and you know who is more angry than the Republicans? The Democrats, the regular, not the politician Democrats. And they showed me with polls where I was leading in a state that normally, of course, you know, they have all mail-in voting, so, you know, you can't count too much on that. But if you didn't have, if God would come down from heaven, if God would come down and be the vote counter just for one night, he'd only take 1 second because, you know, God works faster. God works faster, Megan, than anybody else I can imagine. Right? So we only need God for 1 second. He'll do the job. He'll do the job and he'll be gone. You'd see we'd win a lot of these places. California sends out 38 million ballots. They send them out all over the place. They come back. Nobody knows what the hell is happening. Some people get 8 ballots, some people get 5, and some only get 2 or 3. And I went to California, we had a rally, we had 107,000 people show up. I said, there's no way I would lose. And I do well with Hispanics. I just got, a poll just came out. I'm at 56% with Hispanics compared to this woman who was at 36%. How about that? I think the Green Party got more than she did. I love the Green Party. Jill Stein, this may be one of my, I never met her, but she may be one of my favorite politicians. But it will soon be, think of it, we're an occupied country, but it will soon be an occupied country no longer. It's not going to be an occupied country. November 5th, 2024 will be Liberation Day in America. On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program of criminals in the history of our country. And I don't want to do that. I'm not looking to do that. I don't want to. I think it's terrible to do, but we have no choice. These are murderers. 13,099 put out by the Border Patrol, who, by the way, 2 weeks ago gave me the best endorsement you've ever seen. They said, I'm the greatest president in American history. And I said, does that include George Washington and Abraham Lincoln? Yes, sir, it does. When they say that, they're all in, right? Better than Lincoln or Washington. Who would have thought? I wonder what my parents say up there. Hi, Mom. I know my mother's up there. My father's a little bit. It's in dispute. He's now. He would be up there. He was a strong guy, but he was a good guy. But I will rescue every city and town that has been invaded and conquered. Can you imagine? We're talking about, these are military invasions without the uniforms. That's all it is. And we will put the vicious and bloodthirsty criminals in jail or kick them the hell out of our country as fast as we can. And to expedite removals of the Trende Aragua gang and the MS-13 gangs, equally as vicious. You know, MS-13 took 2 beautiful teenage girls walking to school in Long Island. For some reason, they like, we took them out by the thousands. ICE. She wants to defund ICE. They're tough as hell, and they're also people that love our country. They took two young girls and they sliced them into pieces as they were walking. They sliced them into, they didn't shoot them because that's too quick. They sliced them up and left them dead. Two young, beautiful girls walking to school. And ICE did their business. ICE went in and took care of them. But can you imagine? And now she wants to defund ICE. Let's defund ICE. No, these are rough people. These are bad people. I will invoke. And this is how far we had to go back, because in those days they didn't play games. I will invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to target and dismantle every migrant criminal network operating on American soil. And if they come back into our country, it's an automatic 10 years in jail with no possibility of parole. And I am hereby calling for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or a law enforcement officer. Right? And I will ban all sanctuary cities in the United States of America. And I am going to immediately do something that nobody's ever heard before. And I've wanted to do it for a long time, but I don't want these guys to do it because they won't do it properly. We will immediately stop the drugs pouring across our border. We lose 300,000 people. You don't lose 90. They've been saying 90, 90, 90. We lose 300,000. Everybody in this room knows people that were devastated. Their children mostly, but the parents too. They die. Fentanyl. They put a piece, take a pin, put a little tiny piece of fentanyl in the top of that pin. And that can kill five people. Put a little bit more, it can kill the entire town. This is what we're dealing with. Everybody I know is losing sons, children to fentanyl. We lose not 100,000. We lose probably much more than 300,000. So essentially, that's a war, right? That's a war. We don't lose that many soldiers if you're in wars. So we lose 300,000 people a year to drugs entering from Mexico. And if they don't stop this poison from flooding into our country, and they can stop it by not accepting it from China, and I'm doing the same thing with China, we're going to tariff the hell out of them. And Mexico, you know, people are surprised to hear this. Mexico is our largest trading partner. And if we put even a small tariff on, like 10, 15%, you're talking about tens of billions of dollars, and they're not going to want to have that long. And they're strong. They can stop it if they want. They can do it if they want. They'll probably have to make a deal with the cartels, because the cartels totally run Mexico, totally. It's a terrible things are happening in Mexico. But we're going to put a tariff on Mexico. If they don't immediately stop sending that horrible stuff into this country, and likewise we're doing it with China, if China doesn't stop, you know, I had a deal with President Xi. He was going to give the death penalty, because in China they give the death penalty. When I first met and I had a great relationship until COVID, until I call it the China virus, I'd like to be more accurate. I had a great deal and a great relationship with President Xi, really great. He came to Mar-a-Lago, we spent a lot of time, we had a very good relationship. He's a strong man, he's a fierce person, you know. People said, what's he like? He's fierce. There's nobody in Hollywood that could play his role, believe me. And I say that with respect. But I said to him, you're killing a lot of people by sending fentanyl into our country. I said, how many people do you lose a year with drugs? No, nobody. I said, what do you mean nobody? No, we have no problem with drugs. Why? We have a quick trial. What is a quick trial? I mean, I know what a quick trial is. What is a quick trial? If we catch a drug dealer, we bring him to a quick trial. He said, we bring him to a quick trial. And they're almost always found guilty. And then we send the bullet home to the family, and the family must pay us for the bullet. Can you believe this? This is a little different than our country. In our country, they'd lawyer up, they'd be going to trial for 30 years. But they have no drug, they have zero drug problem. And I said, I want you to do me a favor. And we made a deal. You're killing our people. And that's going to end up in bad things for you, really bad for you. Not for you. Can't get any worse for us. I said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to give the same death penalty to those people that are sending fentanyl into the United States. And if you don't do that, I'm going to tariff the hell out of your shit coming into the United States. And guess what? He agreed to do it. We had an agreement, and then we had a very bad election, a horrible election. Think of the difference, how different our country would be. You wouldn't have had the fentanyl problem. You really wouldn't. You wouldn't have had inflation, because they did that by screwing around with my energy. We had energy at $1.84. It was $1.87. It was corrected by the federal government. I was at $1.84. We had all of these things. You wouldn't have had October 7th in Israel. All those people would be alive today. The hostages, that most of whom are no longer living. Think of it. Russia would not have attacked. Ukraine wouldn't have happened. But Israel wouldn't have happened because Iran was broke. I said, you can't buy any oil from Iran. Anybody that buys oil from Iran can't deal in the United States. We don't do business with you. China stopped it. I told that to President Xi. If you buy oil, they were the primary customer. If you buy one barrel of oil, one barrel from Iran, you're not doing any business with the United States. We'll go cold turkey, which some people like anyway. And you know what? They said, all right, they didn't. Nobody did. I said that to 45 different countries. They weren't selling anything. They were essentially broke. They wanted to make a deal so badly. And then we had that bad election, that horrible, disgusting, worst thing that ever happened to the country was that election. And I left, and they didn't follow up the deal that I made. And the fentanyl is now pouring into Mexico at numbers, and more people are dying, and it comes across this open border, and we're taking in more drugs, human smuggling, all women, setting records. Bring up that my all-time favorite chart, if it's possible to find. Where is that all-time favorite? So the red arrow on the bottom, that's the lowest. It's done by the Border Patrol, not by me. It looks like something done by me, doesn't it? But that was my last day in office. Look at the red arrow. That was the lowest that we've ever had. Drugs. It includes drugs, but drugs and human trafficking, but mostly illegals coming into the United States of America. Look at that number. And it would have gone down. All they had to do is leave it alone, leave the people we had, Brandon Judd, all these great people. Tom Homan was consulting me. And all these great people, that's all they've done in their life. And we had it down to a science. The drugs were coming in at the slowest rate. But we had illegals almost stopped, but now they would have been literally stopped. And by the way, we want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally. They have to come in legally. They have to show they can love our country. They have to show that they didn't murder seven people along the way. But that's the lowest point, and I love that chart. Even if it was bad numbers, which it's not, but even if it was horrible numbers, I would love that chart so much. That chart was right over there. It never was over there, and it was never over there because I always do this toward the end of a speech, not the beginning. And I looked over there at that chart, and I said, what the hell was that? Me, yeah. So that was pretty amazing. But, you know, I do want to tell you one quick story. So I'm in Detroit, and Mexico is getting rather rough with us in terms of trade. And we're not going to take it. We don't have to take it. We have a good trade deal, but, you know, nobody knows how to use it because they're stupid people. And Mexico is doing things that aren't good. And, you know, China's using Mexico is a subchapter S corporation, practically. China is putting a lot of money into, you know, they're running things pretty good, and they're going to build the largest auto plant. I was making a speech at the Detroit Economic Club, But a year and a half ago, it looked like I was going to run, and I wanted to go see an auto plant because we're getting screwed on autos. I mean, everyone's moving their plants over. Actually, Elon built a big plant in Texas. Okay, we like it. Right? Elon built a very big plant in Texas. We got to give credit. We love Elon. He gave me another of the greatest. You know where he is right now? He's in another part of your state. He is now in Pennsylvania campaigning for Donald Trump because he thinks it's the single most important thing. And, you know, he said something to me that was interesting. Because nobody knows computers. That rocket I was telling you about, the way it laid down, he said, that's all computers operating the engines. The engines are the easy part. He said, the computers, it's tremendous computerization, the way it just shifted it over, so beautiful. But I said to him, what do you think about it? Because he really is watching this whole voting process. And he said, you know, computers are the greatest. He looked at some that were just shipped in, some of these vote counting computers. He knew it before it even came in the door. He looked like at the back of it. Oh, I know that one. I mean, he knows this stuff better than any. And he actually said, and this is for the good of everybody. It's the good of mankind, essentially. If you look at France, if you look at all these, they had their mail-in voting. They all gave it up. Nobody does like we do. And Gavin Newsom, look at Gavin Newsom. So now not only is voter ID no good, if you're an official, and you ask somebody for voter ID, I'd like to see your voter ID. You have committed a criminal act. Do you believe it? The mere asking, he just signed the bill. That's right, Megan, isn't it? The mere asking, this guy just signed the bill, and an official says, I'd like to see your voter ID. He's guilty of a crime. This is crazy. And there's only one reason they want to do that, because they want to cheat. But Elon Musk said to me, I hope I'm allowed to say this. I think I am, because one thing, he's out there. He's a guy. He just wants the truth. He's an incredible guy. And he said, computers aren't meant for this kind of stuff. He said, there's only one thing you can do. He's the most sophisticated guy in the world when it comes to computerization. He said, the only thing you can do is paper ballots, same-day voting. You know, paper is very sophisticated. Watermark. It's very sophisticated. Paper ballots, voter ID, one-day voting, not 10 days where you say, oh, let's move these boxes from that room to this room because we're going to fix the air conditioning. And then the boxes never get put back. And you say, what happened to those boxes? Oh, no, one-day voting. He said, and he said, also proof of citizenship. You know, it'd be nice. Very simple. And you'll have your answer as to who won and who lost by 10 o'clock in the evening. Nobody's going to dispute. France had it, 37 million votes. And we knew who won and who lost at 9:30 in the evening. That's the time that they said. Do you know that I'm hearing that stories that they may take 12 days extra to count the ballots. And bad things happen when you do that. Although today we won a very good case in Georgia, where the judge ruled that, no, they're not allowed to have unlimited extensions for the votes to come in. That's what I mean. We have unlimited extensions. Oh. Oh, we just found 100,000 votes just poured in from the vote. Now we got to straighten out our, you know, it won't affect me after this. We have to do it. We have to win the old-fashioned way and then fix it, but we have to fix it. We can't allow this to happen. And remember, the states are essentially an agent, if I can use that term, but they're an agent of the federal government. The states are doing the collecting, so to speak. And they have to take their orders from the federal government. And how can you do this where they say it's going to take days longer? You have all this equipment. The other thing is, if you go to a paper system, it'll cost you 8% of what all of this fancy machinery costs. But Elon said that there is no computer in the world that can't be broken into very easily by somebody that's computer smart. I have a son at home, Barron. I said, people love Barron. They love Barron. They love Barron. I say, Barron, you're always on your computer. I think you have to learn it at a young age, actually. Barron, you're always on your computer. You got to stop. You got to do other things. Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. Sure. Sure, Dad. Don't be wise. Look, I'm going to turn this thing off. Okay, Dad. Try it. So I turn it off, Dad. I turn it off. It's locked. It's done. I have a number on it. He calls me 45. Come here, Dad. Take a look. Nah, these kids are genius, I'm telling you. He's a wise guy, smart one. And do I have good kids? I have to just... Are my kids here? Where are my kids? They're around here. Get them out here. I think I want to bring them up. 4 years. They've been with us, and Barron's home, and he's watching this. He's watching. He's a little young. He's watching. They love Barron, huh? They love Barron. We love Barron. And Ivanka's great. She watches. She loves this whole thing. She loves it. She loves you. She loves it. She loves the whole thing. But I just thought, you know, it's sad because we've been doing this for 9 years. We've had hundreds of rallies, hundreds. Actually, numbers that are not even conceivable. I've heard 800, 900, I don't know, but we don't even count them. And they're all like this. They're all these magnificent, magnificent rallies. And this is the last one I'm going to have here. And I have one left, a whole thing. And remember, the rallies are the most exciting thing. There'll never be rallies like this, you know? You're going to have some leading candidate come in 4 years. And honestly, if they're successful, they'll have 300 or 400 people in a ballroom someplace. This is never going to happen again. It happens every single time. And it's never happened in the world. This is a movement that's never happened. And it's going to be a movement that's going to save our country. It's going to be a movement that's going to save... But it's sad in terms of we'll never have this, but we'll have other get-togethers. And in a way, all what we're doing, all these years of work, and, you know, we started off with that very bad situation 4 years ago. And it was so sickening to wait 4 years. And if I didn't do so well, I did so much better the second time than the first. I wouldn't have done this. If I took in less votes, we took in close to 12 million more votes. I mean, Barack Hussein Obama, he didn't do that. He got far less votes the second time than he won. And he's a major divider. I watched him the other night. I mean, he's a very divisive guy. I've always said that. He is a very divisive guy. And his wife, I've always been so nice. Ooh, she was hitting me. She was hitting me, Michelle. She was hitting me. That wasn't nice. I've always been nice, but they're dividers, I'll tell you right now. We're not going to stand. Dividers are no good. He's a highly overrated man, I'm telling you that. But he's a divider. I watched him with this crap where he's trying to get her in. He's the one that pushed her in the first place. And look what happens. I mean, I hope it happens, because if it doesn't happen, this country's in big trouble. But we've been doing this now for 9 years, and we had a great first term. We rebuilt our military. We cut taxes. More than any president in history, including Ronald Reagan, who did a big tax cut. We cut more regulations. We developed an open space force through the Congress, and I think that's going to go down. First time in 82 years that last one was the Air Force. We did that. I mean, think of all the different things that we did. We're respected all over the world. China respected us. Everybody respected us. There was no laughing at your leader. There was they came up with all these hoaxes, Adam Schiff and all this scum that we have in this country. They're scum. And they knew it was a hoax. And they tried to put this guy who didn't know anything about Russia. They tried to put him in jail. Adam Schiff conceived of the story. Think of it. Adam Shifty Schiff, one of the truly unattractive people. I call him Watermelon Head. He's got the largest head and the smallest neck. He's got a neck that's about 4 inches around. He's got a watermelon on top of it. But he's not a stupid person, but he's an evil kind of person. And he's likely going to be a senator, unfortunately. But, I mean, this scum is going to be a senator. So their movement carries on, but our movement carries on, too. As long as ours carries on. No, he's got the smallest neck I've ever seen. Do you think he can play football for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I don't think so. One shot, and there goes the whole thing would fall apart. One little shot. One tiny tap like that. Boom, falls off. No, but bad. But think of how bad this is. I don't want to put him on the spot, but this kid went through hell on a story that they knew was made up. Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. And I saw a Schiff come out of an intelligence meeting or something. He's not supposed to even do this, but he goes out into his press and he says, Donald Trump Jr. will go to jail for what he's done with Russia. Right? And I said, whoa, I said, what's this all about? So I call him up. I said, Don, what's going on? I said, Dad, I don't know anything about Russia. He didn't do anything. He went before grand juries. He went before what they did to this guy was. And you know what? I think he became tougher because of it. Maybe too tough. He maybe got. I think he's too tough, Sarah. I don't like it. He's too tough. They've made my son too tough, Mike. But he's a great guy, and he's a good person, and they put him through hell. But think of it. What person, and Hillary was in the act, they spied on my campaign. It's now proven. Spied on my campaign. The Russia, Russia, Russia thing with Mueller. You saw Mueller's performance in Congress, right? He didn't know anything. We were totally exonerated. But for 2 years, this guy went through hell. He went through hell. He had nothing to do with Russia. He didn't know anything about it. They went through millions of phone calls. They didn't find one phone call to Russia. It was a hoax. But think about how bad you have to be. We're going to put the son of the president of the United States in prison for what he's done with Russia. And he knows it was a hoax because he conceived of the hoax along with Crooked Hillary and the rest of them. And Obama, in my opinion. No, but think of it. He conceived of a hoax, and he wants my son to go to prison. That is human scum. I'm sorry. And he'll probably go on to be a senator. And that's okay, because we have blocked them. Everything we've done, we've won against, but they are bad people. You know, if they put that genius toward making our country great, boy, would we have fun. We would have fun together. But I don't know if they're capable of doing that. It'd be great if we could bring everybody together. The time we came together is just previous to COVID. We had the most successful country ever in history. We were doubling up in China. They were paying us billions of dollars. No other president took in anything. And you know what was happening? Everybody had jobs. African American, Asian American, everybody. Asian, the Hispanics. Look at me with Hispanics. Hispanics. They remember that period 4 years, 5 years ago, but everybody was successful. Men, women, people that went to MIT, Harvard, and Wharton, and people that didn't have a degree. Everybody was doing better than they've ever done before. People that never graduated from high school. And I'll tell you what was happening is I was getting calls from people that I would say are the radical left. But people that were definitely very far left, and people wanted to start meeting. There was a whole thing. This country was coming together, and then we got hit with something that nobody knew what the hell it was, although I did say it was from the Wuhan lab. I was right about that. And bad things happened, and we actually did a great job. Never got the credit for that. We got the credit for what we did with the economy. for what we did. We rebuilt the entire U.S. military, and we knocked the hell out of ISIS. It took them. They were fighting ISIS for 18 years. It took me 4 weeks to get rid of them, right? 4 weeks. So, 4 weeks to get rid of them. But I will tell you, and I just say this because so many people say, is there any way to unify the country? And I used to sort of say, no, look, we want to have walls, we want to have borders, and they don't. I think it has to just be explained. I think that's an easy one. They want the men and women sports things. You know, I've been a politician for now. I can't believe I say that. But 9 years, I've had a lot of people come up and say, well, what about taxes? What about this? Nobody's ever said, sir, it's really important to allow men to play in women's sports. I've never had anybody say it. Nobody's come up to me and said, you know, on the transgender thing, sir, it's very important to my family that you get that. I mean, these things are crazy. And yet on television, that's all they talk about. That's all they talk about. But we're going to turn this country. The bottom line is it was really starting to come together. Then we got hit. We got to fix that. Think of it. And when I turned it back over, the stock market was higher than it was just previous to COVID coming. And think of it. Amazing. We handed them something beautiful, and they blew it. They blew it right out the window. It's terrible. They blew it. And now we're going to end up in a depression, frankly, if you look at the numbers that we are going to present in a second. But I just want to thank my kids because they are great kids, and they have been with me from the beginning. They've been with me right from the beginning. And I thought I should do that because we go to Michigan tonight and we do one final. We'll do four tonight, but we go to Michigan, and I really thought I should recognize my children. So this is the second to last one. That's sad because we've been together. I mean, look at these people, the front row Joes, the North Carolina women, the whole thing. We have people that have come to hundreds of the rallies, and we all love it. And, you know, they all love the country. Everyone that they don't come to our rallies if they don't love the country, just because they wouldn't do it. But they have. But here's the only thing in closing. We have done these rallies, and they were only done for one purpose, to put us in a position that we can be put in tomorrow to fix our country, because the rallies, otherwise, it's just nice entertainment. So all of these rallies that we've had for years now, they're done to put us. And, you know, after that last horrible situation and so many bad things happened, China was immediately allowed to go buy oil. And Iran has hundreds of billions of dollars now. They had nothing. They were broke. And so many other things happened. And it's really sad. But we were put in a position with these rallies where I can't tell you yet, but I mean, we're certainly on the 2 or 3 yard line. And the only way we can blow it is if you blow it. I've given you the ball. I mean, you got to go and vote. You got to vote. And if they vote, Susie, right? If they vote, it's over. And they know it. They know it. They know it. They've already pulled out of a couple of states, you know, states like, the word is they pulled out of North Carolina. They cut all their ads. They're using the money someplace else. I even heard they ran out of money. They don't have any money with all the money they raise. And they get a lot of it from unions and this and that. Even though some of the guys were telling me, the steelworkers, they say the steelworkers are with you. Just the top guys aren't. Because you know what? I don't even blame them. It's a habit. So many years, 50, 60, 70 years, they support the Democrats like a habit. But they're going to do a lot better with me. I want to tell you one quick story because it has to do with these people, because I want to save their jobs, whether it's auto workers or steel workers. So China, I have a friend who's the best and the biggest auto factory builder in the world, I guess. Very big, very good, very capable guy, John. And I see him and we're talking. about a year ago, and he said, yeah, we're building some big, oh, good, I want to see, we're building some big auto factories. Great, I want to see one. When can we go? I want to take a look, because, you know, I'm thinking about running pretty hard, and that's a big thing. We got to save Michigan. We got to save Detroit. Detroit's got big problems. But just generally the car industry, right? It's a big industry. We want to be at the top. So I want to see one of the factories. Okay, good. We're going to go down to Mexico. I said, I don't want to go to Mexico. I want to look at if I know. We don't build the big ones over here. What do you do? He said, it's just, we don't. It just doesn't work that way. So he said, as an example, we're building a really big one in Mexico right near the border. I said, who's the owner or the principal? He said, China. So China's building a massive auto, massive. He said, it'll produce probably more cars than the state of Michigan produces, when you think, you know, because they have smaller plants, they're all over the place. Some of them are very old. I said, that's bad. That's going to kill Michigan. It's going to kill Detroit. It's going to hurt South Carolina, Tennessee, and various other places that are involved. That's really bad. This is a big, yeah, they're going to build more. And I thought about it, and about 2 months ago, I let it be known that I'm going to put tariffs on all the cars that they're going to be selling us into the United States. And I let it be known that the tariffs will be about 100%, and 100% tariff on any car that's made in these factories in Mexico, probably any car coming in from Mexico. Remember, I'm going to put tariffs. This is a big thing. I'm putting tariffs on Mexico. If they don't straighten out this drug, it's their problem. They're coming through Mexico, and Mexico is accepting this fentanyl. And I'm putting tariffs on Mexico. Every damn thing that they sell into the United States is going to have like a 25% tariff until they stop drugs from coming in. And let me tell you something. Those drugs will stop so damn fast that your head will spin. And I'm not playing games. I'm going to do, and I'm doing the same thing to China. If they want to sell Mexico fentanyl at levels that nobody, it's going crazy right now what they're doing. You know, at least we fought it like hell, and we did relatively successfully. You can never, I mean, they put it in hubcaps of cars. It's tough. It's all over the place. It's genius, some of these devices they come up with. But I've told China, you want to sell, we're going to have a good relationship with China, hopefully. I want to have a good relationship. But you sell fentanyl into the United States through Mexico, we're putting a 25% or so tariff on until such time as you stop doing it. And they're not going to do it for long because that is a massive penalty. And we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight with guns. You know, I had no wars. I stopped wars. I stopped two countries from fighting each other that have nothing to do with us. You can ask Rick Grinnell, who did a great job for us. And you can ask, I stopped. You can ask Mike Pompeo. He's here. I stopped countries from fighting wars that had nothing to do with us. Just say, listen, fellas, you've been killing each other for 1,000 years. If you keep, and they both did business with the United States and made money. I said, if you keep fighting like this, you're killing people. Lots of people are dying. That's all I cared about. I didn't care where they're from, but people are dying. Good people are dying because these leaders are stupid. And so I said, if you keep doing it, I'm putting a 50% tariff on everything that you do business with the United States on. You got to say, I'm talking to two countries. They call me up the next day together. We have resolved our differences. It didn't help me, but you know what? I saved a lot of lives. So getting back to the auto plant, because, you know, I may be the greatest weaver of all time. But what happens, only brilliant people can do that. Stupid people can't do it because they get lost. Where am I? So the stories are very boring. They have to go right down like this, right down to the bottom. They can't weave at all, but I can weave and tell you all these stories. And they're all related, and in some cases, not too much, 10%, but 10% is enough. So getting back to where we started, so I see John. I'm at the Detroit Economic Club last week. Had a great people. And I see John sitting in the audience right where that big, strong guy is with the label in his jacket. Right there, you with a hat on. Big, powerful guy. He's much more powerful physically than John, I can guarantee you that. But I see John sitting right there. And I'm making a speech. I want to see John. I want to get this speech over with. I want to find out what the hell's happening with that plant. But I had told everybody that if they build that plant, I'm putting a 100% tariff on every car that that stupid plant makes because they're looking to hurt our country. And I did that and then sort of forgot about it. But now I see John. I say, do me a favor, that guy sitting over there, please bring him backstage after I'm finished speaking. They bring him backstage. I say, hi, John, how's that plant going where China's going to spend all that money to build a big plant that's going to hurt the United States and kill its auto industry? He said, sir, I was notified last week that they've given up the plant. They're not going to build it. They think you're going to win. And if you win, they think it's going to be a very bad experience for them. They're going to lose their show. And that's what happened. And I stopped it. And those guys back there, I took some pictures with a few of them, and they were hugging and kissing me. I said, get off me. Look at the size of those arms over there. They never kissed a man in their life. And you know why? Because I put tariffs on China dumping steel in the United States, and every one of those guys is working now. Right? And they're all working now, and their steel plants are open. And I was just starting. So they like Trump. The rank and file loves Trump. The other guys are sort of like, there's something strange going on. But I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't want the other guys. I just want these guys. I'll tell you, the Teamsters supported Trump, 62%. And they have a great leader. They have a great leader of the Teamsters, right, Steve? Sean O'Brien is a great leader. But he just took a neutral, and I think that's good. But he took a neutral position. But we had... They took a vote with the Teamsters, and the Teamsters voted for us, and the firemen voted for us. I mean, everybody's voting for us. And I like union. I like non-union. I like everything. Depends where you are, but the unions have been amazing. But the steel unions, they were all going to go out of business. If I didn't put those tariffs on, there wouldn't be one steel plant in this country open, and that's a business, right? And that's a business we need. Look, I'm going to keep us out of World War III. We're not going to have World War III. But if we ever had... I mean, steel is a business you have to have. If we ever had a war, you need steel. War with China. Oh, do you think they'll keep selling us steel? I don't think so. We need more steel from China as we attack China. These people are crazy. So... That's one of the reasons I like those guys. It was a 50% tariff, and I would have lifted it higher, but they practically stopped. And all these steel mills are open today because of what I did. There wouldn't be a steel mill in the country. And these guys didn't have the guts. They would have never had the guts to do it. So 4 years of Kamala have delivered nothing but economic hell for the American workers and the auto workers, all workers. Her inflation disaster has made life unaffordable and cost families over $30,000 in higher prices. We got to get the prices down, and we will. When we bring the energy way down, the prices are going to come down. It's very simple. It's not that complicated. When they took over energy and they made it like they're going to close up everything, the prices of energy went up, and that drives air. It's so big, energy, so powerful. And we have more than any other country, but we don't use it. Just days ago, we had the worst jobs report in modern history with only 12,000 jobs that were created. We're used to hearing 250,000 jobs. It wasn't as good as we anticipated. 12,000 jobs. That's like Walmart. Think of it. No, Walmart deals in those numbers. This is a country. But listen to these numbers. 30,000 private sector jobs were killed in a single month. And most of the hiring is done by government jobs, so it's easy. You just tell the government to hire some more people to keep your numbers up. But they're not the jobs you want. You want the jobs like the people standing behind me. And listen, and nearly 100,000 manufacturing jobs were wiped out. And these are government numbers. These are not Trump numbers. This is not Trump. This is government. We get it right off the tabs. They were wiped out. 100 jobs, manufacturing jobs, were lost since the start of this year. 150,000 Americans joined the unemployment rolls in October. 150,000. And nearly 250,000 people dropped out of the labor force over a very short period of time. Just think, a few months ago, they had fraudulently claimed these people are crooks. They had fraudulently claimed that they had 818,000 jobs created. And it was a fraud. And what happened is they wanted it because that was such a big number that it made the jobs picture not look great, frankly, because they're so far down. But it looked okay. It wasn't like a story. You know, they had a normal thing. So they created a fake 818,000 jobs, and they thought they'd be able to get away with it through the election. They wanted to get away with it right through the election and then announce a week after the election that they're going to revise the numbers. How would you like to be me? And that happened. When I heard this, I looked up. I said, thank you, God. Thank you very much. Because, you know, how would you like to be me and have a phony? Well, I sort of had that the last time, in all fairness, with all the phony crap. But how would you like to be me and let's say I didn't win because the economy looked like it was doing okay? And then you see that they fraudulently put down almost 1 million jobs on the rolls, and then they announced that we're going to revise the numbers downward. But they also did something else, because they just revised past jobs report down by an estimated 112,000 fake jobs. So that's almost 1 million fake jobs, and the press doesn't want to write about it. But Megyn Kelly will write about it and talk about it, and others will, but they have to know about it. Meanwhile, 100% of the net jobs created in the United States of America has gone only to migrants. Migrants have occupied 100%. And these are depression-type numbers, and that's where we're heading if she's elected. That's where we're heading. If she's elected, this is a depression. This is a 1920 Niles, and there was nothing worse than that. This is a 90. This is in 1990s where it was not good, but fine. This is a 1929 where people were jumping off buildings. This is a 1929. It took 25 years to recover from that mess. And I always said, I said it before, the one president I don't want to be under any circumstances is Herbert Hoover. And that was done by bad tax policy simultaneously with lifting all sorts of other things that made it impossible for people. A lot of mistakes were made. But it took 20 to 25 years to recover. And I don't want that happening. And that's going to happen with her. She doesn't have a clue. She doesn't have a clue. And, you know, I just mentioned a name, but a woman who I saw the other night on television just ripped some poor idiot apart. Megyn Kelly is here, and she's doing it. Come on. Come up here, Megyn. She ripped a guy apart.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hey, it's great to see you. Can you believe this guy? Can you believe the energy and the stamina on this guy? At his age, I'm ready to go to sleep over there. He's got another rally to go to till tonight. Let me tell you, first of all, one of the reasons why I wanted to come here, one of the many reasons I wanted to come here. When I launched my show 4 years ago, we had Mark Cuban on the program. You know, yeah. May seem he was in the news this week. And he started going on about how bad America's race history was and how ashamed he was of America, and that's why he was at all these protests, and he felt it was really important to stand up and speak out about human rights violations. And then it got awkward when I asked him about all the money he was taking from China. And then he dropped a bunch of F-bombs, and I thought, I really enjoy this feeling of proving Mark Cuban wrong. And so here I am at a Trump rally, a strong, intelligent woman, to prove Mark Cuban wrong again. I won't take up much of your time, but I do want to tell you the main reasons I am voting for Donald Trump. Number one, immigration. He mentioned it. And people like Laken Riley. I'll be thinking about her tomorrow all day. 22 years old, killed in Georgia, a young nursing student by an illegal. I'll be thinking about Jocelyn Nungare, 12 years old, in Texas, murdered by two Venezuelan illegals. President Trump closed the border. Kamala Harris opened it by choice. It wasn't accidental. She said it would be humane. That's what she and her boss believed. Tell it to Lake and Riley's family. There was nothing humane about it. He closed it. They opened it. It was an intentional choice, and there's no reason not to believe they won't do it again. The boys should not be in the girls' sports. The boys should not be in the girls' bathrooms. The boys should not be in the girls' locker rooms. Peyton McNabb, North Carolina sophomore in high school, slammed so hard in the face by a volleyball hit at her by a boy pretending to be a girl, she suffered traumatic brain injury and permanent paralysis. Kamala Harris looks at her and says, "Be kind. Suck it up." And that's what's right. Why do our girls have to face brain damage in order to be kind to boys who want to invade their sports? And by the way, they are going into the women's prisons. She changed the law in California to make sure the taxpayers would pay for their sex change operations. She was not just following the law, she changed the law. President Trump will stop it. He got mocked by the left for saying he would be a protector of women. He will be a protector of women, and it's why I'm voting for him. He will close the border. He will keep the boys out of girls' sports and where they don't belong. And you know what else? One more thing. He will look out for our boys, too. Our forgotten boys and our forgotten men. Guys like you. Guys like these guys who've got the calluses on their hands, who work for a living with the beards and the tats, who maybe have a beer after work and don't want to be judged by people like Oprah and Beyonce, who will never have to face the consequences of her disastrous economic policies. These guys will. He gets it. President Trump gets it. He will not look at our boys like they're second-class citizens. And ladies out there who want a bit of girl power in this election, let me tell you something. How can you win when the sons and the husbands and the brothers and the dads you love are losing? It's not a win. We care, young women and older, about the lives of our children, the safety of our children. And we need not get so obsessed with what happens when they're in the womb that we forget about taking care of them once we're here and they're loved. Last point. What I don't want, what I don't think you want, is the left's version of masculinity. You see that ad they did about Trump voters trying to encourage women to lie to their husbands so that they could vote for her instead of Trump? That's their version of what marriage looks like. An overbearing husband who bullies his wife into saying she voted one way as opposed to an honest, open relationship. Oh, wait, I'm talking about Kamala and Doug. Okay, sorry. Where was that story in the news? Where is that story? I don't remember a single media person, not one, who sat with him, asked him about the abuse allegations against him by a successful professional attorney who has great details, who has receipts, who has witnesses. No one even asked about it. I'm not into their version of toxic masculinity or new masculinity. I prefer the old version. Them, all of you, and I prefer a president who understands how to be strong and how to fight. I hope all of you do what I did last week. Vote Trump and get 10 friends to vote Trump too.
Unbelievable. Thank you. Wow. Whoa. Oh, wow. I have some more big news, Megan. I'm just getting this right now. So somebody that's very, very respected asked me to do his show 2 weeks ago, and I said, why not? And to me, it's very big because he's the biggest there is, I guess, in that world by far. Somebody said the biggest beyond anybody in a long time. And his name is Joe Rogan, and he's never done this before. And it just came over the wires that Joe Rogan just endorsed me. Is that correct? Thank you, Joe. That's so nice. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that, so. And he tends to be a little bit more liberal than some of the people in this room. No, I had a lot of fun, and he was amazing, and he was, it was a 3-hour interview. In fact, I was 2 hours late for a rally that we had. I had explained that a little bit, and it was cold out that night. We flew, but we had to make it. We were more than 2 hours late, and they understood. I said, you know, I just was interviewed by a very interesting guy, and he just kept going on. They called it a long form, and it could have gone a lot longer, but he was great. And he's not a person that does endorsements, but he did an endorsement. So I just want to thank Joe Rogan. That's fantastic. And Megan, thank you very much. That was something. That's really something. Also with us tonight is the man that I hope is going to be your next senator. He's a winner. He's tough. He's smart. He loves your state. He loves your commonwealth, and he will take this commonwealth to new heights. He's just a spectacular guy, Dave McCormick. And Dave, I think, stand up, bro. I think you, I looked at a poll before, and I think you're doing very well. He's against a survivor. The guy is a survivor. He's a lousy senator, doesn't do a thing. Do you think he's talking about fracking? That guy talks about fracking. He's not letting fracking get it disturbed in any way, shape. We'll double up the fracking and the jobs and everything else. She's totally against, but everything in his life he's done has been successful. He was tremendously successful in college. He was a really good athlete. He was a wrestler, but I think the Penn State guys probably could have taken him. What do you think, huh? What do you think? I think maybe, but you never know, right? You never really know. There could be an upset in the making. But he's been successful at everything. He went to Wall Street, became one of the most important people on Wall Street, and I just want to say that I hope you vote for him. He's going to be a great, great senator. The Commonwealth will be happy. You'll view it as a terrific vote. And think of it, it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. We have another man who's a great senator from Tennessee. I love Tennessee. You know why I love him? For a lot of reasons, but we won by 31% last time. We didn't have to do this late night stuff with Pennsylvania, but I think Pennsylvania, we're going to have a big number in Pennsylvania too, but I want to thank you, Senator. Bill Hagerty, please. Thank you, Senator. Good looking Senator too. There's something about that. And you have tremendous, we have so many celebrities here, it's incredible, but Bill, thank you very much. Good. Mike Pompeo, please stand up. Mike. He lost all that weight. He's so thin now. Looks good. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it very much. And we have members of Congress that are warriors. These guys have been fighting with me, meaning fighting with me in the proper way, not the bad way. And they're incredible people. John Joyce, Mike Kelly, G.T. Thompson, Guy Reschenthaler. These are terrific people. And somebody told me that, Guy, you were a terrific wrestler. Is that true? I didn't hear that. So I'm never going to fight him. That's all. You know, when you hear that stuff, don't ever go against the odds, right? That's fantastic. I heard really good. Thank you very much, Guy. I appreciate it. Former congresswoman and Democratic, and she was a good candidate, too, for president of the United States. Tulsi Gabbard, a woman of great common sense. a woman of great common sense. And she just switched over to the Republican Party, so that's good. She was a Democrat. Then she became an independent, and then she became that. Thank you very much. It's a great honor. She's a fantastic person. I always said, you know, I've watched her for a long time, and I'd say that's a woman of great common sense, because it's all about common sense. We could say conservative. It's common sense. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. A woman that we're very proud of. She started with us in the Oval Office in the White House. She became press secretary, and she then became the governor of Arkansas. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Sarah, thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. She's doing a good job, too. Oh, we have so many great people. So somebody that ran for president, and let me tell you, he was good. He was smart. He was so impressive to me. And he was, I watched the whole thing go on. They said, should you run? I said, listen, I got a 72-point lead over everybody. People want to hire a smart person, not a smart, to be president. When you're leading by 70 or 72 points, why should you go on a debate and have 12 people knock the hell out of you? Because eventually it's got to have a little impact. So I said, I'll sit out the debates. But I watched the debates, and I watched this man, and he was unbelievable. The governor of North Dakota, he's become one of the great oil experts. That state is doing unbelievable since he's been governor. And he was like me. He was a successful businessman. He made a lot of money, and he wanted to run. And he knew the state. He was in the state, and he ran for governor. He won. He's been one of the best governors in the country, very smart. And we got to bring him in, because he's not going to be running again. I guess he's term limited or something, but he's not. And we're going to find a good place for this guy. We're not going to let him go. Governor Doug Burgum. Thank you. Thank you very much. And his wife, Catherine. Catherine is phenomenal. The son of one of the greatest baseball players of all time. You think I don't know about Roberto Clemente? Oh. So, Roberto Clemente Jr. So, and I hear he's quite a player also, but I'll tell you, I remember his father in deep right field. I remember the throw. You know, I've seen a lot of baseball, and I've seen a lot of throws. And baseball doesn't seem to be quite what it was. We got to do something about that, you know? Too many stations, too many games, too late at night. They should hire me as commissioner, although I like their commission. I do. Some commissioners I don't like. But, you know, make baseball good. But I saw, come up here for a second, wherever you may be. Where is this guy? Because this guy was like, come up here. Come on up here. Anybody with that gene, anybody with the blood in him of Roberto Clemente. Puerto Rico. I love Puerto Rico. Come on. Come here. Tell them, how great was your father?
Hello, Pittsburgh. Well, one thing that I can say is that I'm very proud to be here. For the first time, I had to take a step forward. It is very important for me to support this man, because I believe tomorrow is a change of time. And to answer your question, to be able to talk about my father, the name Clemente, what it means is goodwill and unity. I believe that your team is going to bring it all home. I believe in everything that you stand for right now, being able to make the change for our families, my three kids that are very young, and we live here in Pennsylvania. And I told this man that I commit myself to helping RFK Jr. with our kids and making America healthy again.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Well, Bobby's going to like that. Bobby's great, by the way. He's going to work, and he's going to work with him. But now he's going to work with Roberto Jr., Bobby Kennedy. You know, he's a incredible guy. It's not an easy step. You know, they've been Democrats a long time, the Kennedy family. I'm sure they were thrilled. But Bobby had to do the right thing, and he did. And he's going to be very much involved. You know, he's got a tremendous view on health and pesticides and all the stuff. And we're not really a healthy country. Look at some countries are much healthier than we are, and they don't use all of this stuff. And so Bobby's going to pretty much do what he wants. I want him to do something really important for our country. It makes people healthier. We have obesity. We have every problem you can have. And Bobby feels very strongly about it. And he's going to be very much right. The only thing I told him, though, Bobby, you got to do one thing. Do whatever you want. You just go ahead. Work on the pesticides. Work on making women's health. He's so into women's health. And, you know, he's really unbelievable. It's such a passion. But I said, Bobby, I want you to do it, but leave the liquid gold to me. Don't trample that. Don't trample on our liquid gold, because we're going to let – we have more than any other country in the world by far. Don't trample on that, Bobby. Let me just close your eyes. Let me just make our country rich as hell. So I got to keep him away from that. That could be a problem, but I got to keep him away from that. But so that's so exciting with Megan and Joe. That's so exciting. I mean, we have so many great endorsements. It's just really amazing. By the way, Roberto Clemente, you know, we all see a lot of plays, and you forget about them. Even for those of us that have very good memories, you forget them. You forget them. But I remember playing the Mets, the poor Mets. They were playing the Mets, and a ball was hit into the corner of right field. He played right field. And he went over, a rocket was hit there. And he went over, and he was deep in the corner of right field. And the player started marching to the plate, pretty fast runner. And I've never seen, and I remember sort of everything. And Roberto Clemente, because he was a great hitter and all, you think of him as a hitter, but he was an incredible fielder. But he had the best arm, I think, in baseball. He threw from the deep corner of right field. It was not possible to do this. A ball that never was more than 10 feet off the ground, a strike. And the runner was out. And I said, well, there go my aspirations about being a professional baseball player. It was the greatest throw I've ever seen to this day. And so I wanted to, it's funny, he was one of the greatest hitters, but I remember more for the throw than the hitting even. So it's an honor, and Bobby is going to be thrilled. And I've heard so many great things about you, Roberta. We're going to get you lined up, okay? I love that. Thank you very much. That's a great honor. Also, Mayor J.D. Longo is here, and Sean Parnell. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Mayor. Good job you're doing. And a couple of friends of mine are here. Steve Witkoff, who's given so much money to North Carolina and any place that has trouble, this guy, I always bring him with me. You know why? Because if there's a trouble, he opens his wallet. He made a lot of money, and he loves giving it away to people in places that have trouble. He's an amazing guy, actually, and he opened his wallet to North Carolina, to Georgia, to a woman last night, Carmen, who lost her daughter to a migrant 5 days ago, and he felt very badly. He just helps people. He likes to help people. He's a great businessman, but he loves giving the money away. Thank you very much, Steve. Stand up. Thanks. Steve Witkoff. And another man who's with us tonight, Howard Lutnick. He's working on transition with Linda McMahon, a phenomenal woman. And he rebuilt Cantor Fitzgerald. His whole firm was taken down in the World Trade Center catastrophe. The plane flew right into him practically. He had the top three floors, Cantor Fitzgerald, one of the most successful firms on Wall Street. And he was riding down the road at West Side Highway, and he actually saw this happen. He said, oh, my God. He saw it happen. He saw the plane go in. And you know why he wasn't there? He was always there at 6 o'clock in this morning. But for 5 years, his wife was saying, will you please take our child to school? And he said, no, I can't do it. I got to be in the office at 6 o'clock. And the one day he agreed to take his beautiful child to school, he was delayed for 2 hours getting down there because he's taken this kid who turned out to be great because a long time ago. I said, when you look at that beautiful person that you produced, you thank that person. Do you thank that person every single day? But he wasn't in the probably the only day, not, might have been the only day in your life that you weren't in that building at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? But his brother was in the building and hundreds of other people that worked for him. And his firm, outside of a few people in Europe, his firm was wiped out in one instant, 1 second it was wiped out. They were actually making phone calls to their families saying, we're stuck, we can't get out. All the fire exits were wiped out and the stairs were wiped out. You couldn't get out. They called their wives. They called. His brother was calling him and the wife. The whole story is crazy. And they all died, every one of them. And he had to rebuild. He wanted to rebuild. And he rebuilt the firm bigger, better, and stronger than it ever was. And he gave a big chunk of the firm for an extended period of time to the relatives, wives, and family of the people that were killed. Howard Luckman. It's a great story, actually. That's a great story. He's a great guy. And just one other group is here because this is, you know, we are all inclusive. And if you see what's going on up in a really incredible place, a part of the country that's very incredible, but it's under siege. It's under siege. It's happening in Detroit. It's happening in a lot of other places, but Michigan is really under siege because of what they're doing to the auto business. We're bringing it all back. You see that we're going to through a series of intelligent tariffs, no taxes, but intelligent tariffs. All those companies are going to be brought back, but we've gotten to know and really understand Muslims for Trump. How about that? Muslims for Trump. And it's become a big movement in Michigan, a beautiful movement. And you know what they want? They want peace. They really do. They don't want to be in wars. They're very smart. And, you know, it started off as a little thing, and it's grown and grown and grown. And now we have a much bigger vote than they do. Can you believe that? Because they said, these people are stupid. All they want to do is they didn't know what to do. Actually, they were in between, and she has no idea. She doesn't know where the hell she is. She can't. And they liked me, and I liked them. And let me just tell you, they want peace. They don't want to fight. And they're not involved in the terror and all the things that are going on. They're great people, and it's an honor for them. I don't know where they are, but Muslims for Trump, if you want to stand up, because this was a really great – thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And I think they'll be – there's tremendous cohesion, and I think they may very well be responsible for the kind of numbers we're showing up in Michigan, where Michigan is really looking good, just like Pennsylvania's looking good, just like Georgia's looking good, just like Wisconsin is looking good. North Carolina is looking really good. Arizona's looking great. Nevada's looking great. Where else is there? But, you know, even Virginia, we had a great meeting, Glenn Youngkin. We had a tremendous, tremendous crowd. You know, it's not a swing state, but we had a tremendous crowd in Virginia. I'm hearing New Hampshire where, you know, these are states that aren't really in play in theory, but they're in play now. No, I think we're going to have a big day. But you have to go. Forget about the others. It doesn't matter. You have to go and vote. We win this state, it's over. We win the Commonwealth. We're going to win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and it's going to be over. So get out and vote. That's all I ask. In conclusion, with your vote tomorrow, we are going to fire Kamala. We're going to save America. We will cut your taxes, end inflation, slash your prices, raise your wages, and bring thousands and thousands of factories back to America and back to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We will build American, we will buy American, and we will hire American. I will end the war in Ukraine. Would have never happened if I was president. I will stop the chaos in the Middle East, and I will prevent World War III from... You're very close to World War III. You're very close, and we have people that are not the right people to handle it. They are grossly incompetent. We will crush violent crime and give our police the support, protection, resources, and respect that they so dearly deserve. They know what's going on. They know everything. They know the names of the people that are coming into our country. They know everything about them. All we have to do is let them do their job. We will strengthen and modernize our military. I rebuilt it, but now a lot was given away to Afghanistan. Can you believe? They had a parade last week where they paraded our beautiful equipment down the middle of their boulevard. I don't like watching that. And we should have never... We should have never let them have Bagram, the big air base that's a mile. That's just literally an hour away from China. We will build a missile defense shield over our country, all made in the USA and a lot of it made in Pennsylvania. We will rebuild our cities, including our capital in Washington, D.C., making them safe, clean, and beautiful again. We will teach our children to love our country, to honor our history, and to always respect our great American flag. I will get critical race theory and transgender insanity the hell out of our schools. And we will keep men out of women's sports. I will defend religious liberty. I will restore free speech. And I will defend the right to keep and bear arms. Your Second Amendment, your Second Amendment, your beautiful Second Amendment, which happens to be under siege, and for 4 years, it was fine. After years of building up foreign nations, defending foreign borders, and protecting foreign lands, we are finally going to build up our country, defend our borders, and protect our citizens and our land. And we will stop illegal immigration once and for all. We will not be invaded. We will not be occupied. We will not be overrun. We will not be conquered. We will be a free and proud nation once again, and it will be soon. Everyone will prosper. Every family will thrive, and every day will be filled with opportunity and hope and the American dream. But for that to happen, we must defeat Kamala Harris and stop her radical left agenda, which is a landslide that is too big to rig. We're going to have too big to rig. So you need to get out immediately. You have to get out tomorrow. You have to get out tomorrow and vote. For the past 9 years, we have been fighting against the most sinister and corrupt forces on earth. They're the most sinister. With your vote in this election, you can show them once and for all that the nation does not belong to them. This nation belongs to you. It belongs to you. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and tomorrow it's hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. After all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. With your help, we will restore America's promise, and we will bring back, we will take it back, we'll do whatever we have to do, the nation that we love. We love this nation. I mean, I'm doing this. I could be in the most beautiful beaches in the world getting whacked by saltwater waves with sharks in it, by the way. I don't like that. I'd rather be here. I want to be right here in Pittsburgh. We're those big, strong men back there. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. And we will never, ever surrender. Together we will fight, 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 and win, win, win. November 5th, tomorrow, will be the most important day in the history of our country. And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you, Pittsburgh. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you.